When Christ returns, we'll be given positions of authority as kings and priests in his government. Revelation 5, verse 10. And he's made us to our God kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth. We will be both kings and priests, so we'll be a kingdom of priests. Now, when the day Christ actually does return, when that day arrives, you and I, me, okay, when we're made kings and priests, what is the first thing we might say after all that initial excitement is over? After we're given our kingly and priestly duties, what might be the first thing that comes to our mind? After we're placed in a position where we have to make some governmental decisions, maybe even set some policies for our cities and administration, set some long-range goals, or have major responsibilities placed on us. What do we do first? We heard the sermonette yesterday, we're preparing for the kingdom. Well, now we're talking about what do we do first? What do you think might be the first official statement that comes out of your mouth? See, I don't know about you, but I think the first words out of my mouth will be, help. Help me. Help me out here. I mean, thanks for the honor. Thanks for the trust and vote of confidence. Thanks for the privilege to serve. But with all due respect, please help me. Help me to know what to do, and then help me follow through. So the title for the message today is Four Things for Kings and Priests to Keep in Mind. Four things. So I have 4 points today that future kings and priests would not want to neglect or forget. So the first point is this. A future king should always remember to seek counsel from God. Seek counsel from God. To be an effective leader, we need God's help. When the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, he asked what Solomon wanted God to give him. Solomon did recognize he would need help. He took the opportunity to ask for the right and correct help. 1 Kings 3:6 just mentions Solomon answered, he was like a little child. He didn't know how to carry out his duties. Isn't that how we would feel? Solomon didn't think being a king was going to be easy, so he asked for a discerning heart. I'm sure we all would agree that discernment would be just a great starting point. Discernment means to see or recognize or apprehend clearly. So it means a acuteness of judgment. So he wanted to know what was right or wrong according to God, not according to people's ideas of what's right or wrong. So he wanted to reign in ways that God would have him reign. So discernment was the first thing Solomon asked for when God asked him what kind of help he needed. So the first thing any new king would do is desire and seek God's help. You know, how do we do that? Well, we begin by drawing close, staying close to God. That's basic. That's first. To be an effective leader, we need God's help. So we want to draw close to God and stay close to God. And maintain our prayer, our Bible study. That's the first priority. That's not only how we draw close, stay close to God. That's another way that we seek his help. So the second point is this. A future king needs to keep the big picture in mind. Keep the big picture in mind. We have to stay focused on the kingdom. One example of people losing sight of the big picture is that of the Israelites. They were about to enter the promised land. Well, you all know the story. I'll just mention the results of the children of Israel failing to enter the land the first time God brought them there. The spies saw the giants, saw the fenced cities. They convinced the people not to go in. They saw the little picture. In effect, they took their eyes off the kingdom that they were to inherit. And the results were not good. For 40 years, they had to stay in the desert, and then only their children would go into that promised land. We could do a personal Bible study on the kings of Israel and Judah and see how many lost sight of the big picture. All of the kings of Israel and most of the kings of Judah failed to keep their eyes and their heart on God. All the kings of Israel did evil, and most of the kings of Judah did evil as well. God wants people who will keep their eyes on him and on his kingdom. His kings and his priests will stay focused on the big picture of the kingdom of God. So that was point two, keep the big picture in mind. The third thing future kings and priests should keep in mind is they're to rule by serving. Kings are to rule by serving. How many times has it happened when leaders in the world today come to power that they lose sight of service to their people? They begin instead to serve themselves. Here's a contrast, Luke 16 and verse 10. Just the difference here, Luke 16. And verse 10. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Now here's a contrast. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. How will God know that we will be faithful to serve the people that we'll be responsible for in the kingdom? How will he know we won't turn out like so many of the kings of the world today and then go off and serve ourselves? Christ makes it very plain, very clear, we have to be faithful in the little things now before we can be trusted with the great things later. So he's talking about a selfless rather than a selfish approach to everything we do. In the church, so many brethren serve in so many ways, including the little things and the big things. When we get older, we might not have the strength or the energy to do the things that we used to do, and we may not have the financial means either. But even then, brethren will still serve with prayer and encouragement. I'm not saying we don't serve enough. The brethren do have servants' hearts. And none of us want to say fall short in that area. I do say, however, that God sees our efforts to be faithful in little. We should not be discouraged when there's things that we just simply can't do. God sees our heart, and when he sees we're faithful to serve in even the smallest way, he knows we can be trusted to be a serving and giving king and priest in his kingdom. I do need to point out the opposite is also true if we fail to serve in the least areas or the small areas. Well, God sees that as well. The kings and priests in the kingdom of God will love God first, and they'll love others as much as themselves. They'll care for and actually desire to serve and help people. So how do we learn those things today? How do we develop and become faithful in those leadership skills now, even though we're not yet kings or priests? Well, we learn in all the little things that we do every day. If you're at school or home, work, wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever we do, we can do everything faithfully. So God is looking for those future kings who have a servant's heart. They're the ones that will be entrusted with the office and responsibilities of king and priest. So that was the third point. Future kings and priests, keep in mind, kings are to rule by serving. The fourth thing that future kings and priests should keep in mind is a desire to teach and share God's ways. I realize there's more than four things, but just we're giving you four today. We have to desire to teach and share God's way. There simply is not any better way to live than the way of God. 6,000 years of human history proves that's a true statement. 6,000 years of human suffering because of people's refusal to obey God and live the way that would cause peace and well-being for everybody. Instead, we have a record of war, crime, violence, every kind of hurt. One role of a priest is to teach knowledge. Who would be better to teach God's way if not the brethren? We've been living this way. We see the blessing it is to us. We've proved God's way works. We may have hard trials in this life because this is Satan's world right now, but we know God sees us through all of them. We know if God's ways were practiced by everyone, the world, of course, would be so much better for everybody. Now, that brings up a couple points. It should be obvious. I'll just mention them anyway. And the one is that we are to be living God's way so we can be effective teachers. Excuse me. The other is that we still need to keep up our study of God's way and God's word so that we can be effective to be able to teach in that way as well. I'll just give you a final scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15. Here it says this, "Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality." We become children of God at that time. We inherit eternal life at that time. And I expect we will be appointed kings and priests at that time. Until that day actually arrives and the millennium begins, we need to be in the process of preparing for that actual day's arrival. How do we do that? How do we prepare to be kings and priests? Well, I think we're off to a good start if we keep these four things in mind. Seek counsel from God, keep that in mind. If you're going to be a future king, you want to keep the big picture in mind. And you want to rule by serving. That's a big thing, rule by serving. When we serve others, we see their needs and know how to truly help them. And then, of course, a future king needs to have a desire to teach and share God's way. We understand, of course, that means living God's way first and then teaching it. As we look forward to the time pictured by these days, let's keep our efforts to prepare to be kings and priests in the kingdom of first priority. If we keep these things in mind, we don't have to worry. We will do a good job serving our great God as his kings and priests in his glorious kingdom.